people have given their lives in defense of our scriptures. And I know this, that we should be willing to fight for our scriptures today. It's something that's come under attack again, and I think we should be willing to fight for our scriptures even today. But we're talking about Baptists. Baptist is the oldest church by name that's out there. It's not even close. The next oldest is 360-some years away from Baptist. And the Lord started our church himself while he was here. He painstakingly walked 60 miles plus to be baptized of the only fellow that had authority at that time, John the Baptist. And we'll talk about him in the next couple weeks. But understand this, the reason that you're Baptist is because Baptist holds with certain distinctives. There's certain things about being Baptist that are very important, and that's why you come to a Baptist church, or you ought to come to a Baptist church. So let's learn about that in the next couple weeks a little bit and why we have what we have. Amen? All right, let's start out with a word of prayer. Brother Kativer, could you lead us in prayer this morning, please? Amen. Thank you very much. In Acts chapter 14, looking at verse 21, the Bible says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, and they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Understand, that does not say we must go through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. It says we will go through much tribulation. It says, "and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Don't think this life's going to be a bed of roses for you while you're here. It's not. You're going to go through a lot of tribulation before you enter into heaven. Amen. Chapter 16 also, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." Now understand, you've got to come to grips with something about the Baptist faith. We are Baptists for a very important reason. There's not, I'm just going to choose this church today and I'm going to choose this church tomorrow and I'm going to seek to find what church is the best church. Here's what happens with that. You live your life in a way that you're searching for the church that makes you feel the best. The people of the world today do not want a church that makes them feel the worst, and you shouldn't want that church. But you should search for the church that lines up with Scripture. There really is no other authority on earth but Scripture. We talk all the time that the Scripture is my final authority. That's hogwash. That means you've had a lot of other authorities before you finally got to this guy. Understand this. The Bible is the only authority that we have to go on. It is the only authority. When it comes to religious things, if you take the Bible out of what you know, what do you know? Nothing. You know nothing. And you would love to think that you know something. You would love to think that you've got a handle on something. But if you search the Scriptures, because if you read the verses with me that we just read, they said the gospel was preached, the churches were established. The churches were established because they had a word to go on. And by the way, they didn't have the complete Bible at that time. I understand that. They had what was there at that time, and they used that as their only authority. They didn't wait around. Jesus Christ came down, and he wanted, and I believe at that time was a very, very important time, and he comes down and establishes his church through the apostles and disciples that were there, establishes his church in a very particular fashion. He didn't leave anything to chance in establishing his church. He didn't leave anything to chance about the membership of that church. He didn't leave anything to chance about the way that you become a member of the church and the things that the church is supposed to do after you become a member. He didn't leave anything to chance. He set it up a very specific way. And if I can just kind of jump ahead a little bit, there's only one church that fulfills what they taught, that fulfills what they set up, that fulfills what Christ himself started. There's only one church. There's only one strain of church that fills that. You're sitting in it. The Baptist Church. That's the only one. And you can argue it all you want to. You can look up and down and say, "Brother Dave, that's not true." You can be saved in a church that's not Baptist. Absolutely, you can. All you've got to do is hear the Word of God. Have the so then faith comes by hearing, hear by the Word of God. Believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved. No matter where you're at. But if you're talking about churches being set, and they were set up, and they were set up for very specific reasons, this is the one that lines up. Now, you can search if you would like. You can go through and try to find the differences in the churches and try to do that all you'd like. Or you can just go to Scripture, trust Scripture, and understand that Scripture's teaching you something. Not Brother Dave's teaching you. Scripture's teaching you. Okay? So if you look at the first page of your notes, 8 distinctive marks of the earliest church in Acts chapter 2. We can look at that quickly while we're going through these. Acts chapter 2. In verse 41, the Baptist church is a church full of saved people. Well, that's simple, isn't it? But let me explain something to you. It doesn't have to be in any other church. It's not necessary at all in any other church system to be a saved person to be part of the membership. You will not become a member of Bethel Baptist Church until you've accepted Christ as your Savior. You won't. Because you have to be a saved person. And by the way, let's look at what the Scripture says. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the first part of that, then they that gladly received His word. If you gladly received His word, that's the word of being saved. That was the word that they got. They gladly received His word. The word was preached unto them, and they were saved. By the way, I need to say this to you. The Bible and God's word are very, very important when it comes to salvation. I know Christ does the saving. I get that. But you also must understand that you can't separate the two. Let me try to explain what I mean. You can't take the Bible out of salvation. Okay? You can't do it. You can't remove God's word from salvation. Jesus does the saving. I understand that. I understand that it's Christ and that does the saving. But without His word, you can't know about the saving. Without His word, you can't get the faith that gets to the saving. Without His word, you can't hear about how He died for you. Without His word, you can't know that He loves you. Without His word, you can't understand that you're a sinner. Without His word, do you see where I'm going? You can't separate the two. Jesus Christ gave us a word for a very important reason, and because He gave us that word, we've got to have it to get to the salvation. You can't have one without the other. It doesn't make sense. Well, Jesus does the saving. Yes, He does. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the membership was, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. So they were a saved membership. Then they were a baptized membership. Notice that the baptism comes after the saving. And we have this talk a lot, and we'll get to this more in the next couple lessons. But understand that the baptism should come after you get saved, not before. If you say that you've got baptized before, listen, I grew up Lutheran. Parents took me to church usually, and I went through catechism. And after catechism, the whatever he is, priest came up to me, or preacher came up to me, and he took the water on his thumb, and he put that on my forehead. He took the oil on his thumb, and he made a cross on my forehead, and I became a member of the church. After the baptism, okay? Understand this. That was a baptism in their eyes, but not God's eyes, okay? In that case, I just got wet. Understand that. Now, a lot of people, boy, well, Brother Dave, now you're treading on my sacred baptism from when I was 17 years old in the Catholic Church. Understand, if you didn't get baptized by the correct authority, if you didn't get baptized in the correct place, in the correct way, as Jesus has set up, you didn't get baptized. Boy, that stirs up a lot of argument a lot of the time, okay? But that is the way it goes. Jesus set up something very specific. And by the way, when the Savior, how many would say that we should try to be Christ-like? Yeah. Amen. At least some of us said amen. So we should try to be Christ-like. If we try to be Christ-like, then we should seek out the correct authority for baptism. Jesus walked over 60 miles to be baptized. He made dead sure that He was baptized by the correct authority. And He showed us that. Jesus gave the authority to John. Jesus could have gave the authority to a fellow standing next to Him. Do you hear me? Jesus is the one that gave the authority. If Brother Mike Freimeyer would have been standing right next to Jesus at the time, Jesus says, you know what, I don't feel like walking 60 miles today. You now have the authority to baptize. Let's go down to the river. He said, I want to go to the correct authority. And when He did that, this is just an interesting side note. Jesus' miracles started after He was baptized. His ministry started after he was baptized. Oh, they knew about him, let me tell you. But he started doing great wonders and miracles after he was baptized. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. When did God say that? After he was baptized. Yes, baptism has nothing to do with you going to heaven. It doesn't. It's a minor. It really is. It's a minor. The only thing that has anything that's a major to us is what keeps you in heaven or takes you away from heaven. That's the majors to us. Okay? Understand this, baptism is a minor, but it's obedience number one. That being said, you're a saved membership, you're a baptized membership by immersion only. That's what Jesus, by the way, Jesus was dunked too. A membership of those who have been added. Those have been added to the church. Look at that verse again. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Amen. What a revival that would be. So you've got a saved membership, a baptized membership, and then after you've been saved and baptized, you're added. Amen? Not hard to see. That is the model that the Bible has set up for us. A membership that was faithful in continuing in the apostles' doctrine. If you look at the next verse, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking in bread and prayers. Understand, the apostles' doctrine, the apostles set this up. The Lord gave them special abilities. He gave them special powers, but that is no longer here. There's no more apostles. Because there's people that claim to be apostles today. There's no more apostles. Okay, they don't exist anymore. I know that may be a shock to some of you, but apostles don't exist anymore. Okay, they really don't. A lot of people would love to claim that they're apostles. They would love to claim that they've got this apostolic power, that they put their hand on your forehead and your demons will be gone. Okay, that's not true. If their hand was on the forehead and the forehead of the person and the forehead of the person gave up the demons, it's because Jesus did it, not because the person did it. I believe in healing by faith. I don't believe in faith healing. Okay? Let me say that again. I believe in healing through faith. Jesus has healed you. And I believe that the prayers of earnest men mean something. And I believe that having people anointed with oil means something. And I believe that that's all great. But the men that do that, the men that get on their knees, the men that anoint with oil, the men that pray, know that it's Jesus Christ that's going to deliver the healing. The men are not delivering the healing. You're not going to get any healing from the touch of man. You'll get healing through the touch of Christ, though. So understand, and the apostles are no longer there, but they were faithful in continuing the apostles' doctrine because the apostles set up the church. They helped Jesus Christ set up his church. He gave this model. And so the apostles worked to set the church up, worked to do the correct things, and they continued in that doctrine that they'd set up. A membership faithful in breaking of bread, that's having the Lord's Supper. Amen? Notice when it comes, okay? You were saved, baptized, become a member of the church, then you got to break bread. Okay? We're a closed communion church. Okay? That's the way it is. And I'm proud of that, by the way. I'm proud that we're a closed communion church. That's the way the Lord set it up. The Lord set it up that unless you're a member of this church, you ought not take communion. That's not mean. That's not bad. But if you're not a member of the church, then why would you take communion? Why would you do that? Why? It doesn't make any sense. Because the Bible set up, see, what happens is this, preacher, the humans of this world get into, well, I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do this to get closer to God, but never consult this to get closer to Him. They say, this is what I need to do. That's where the cutting comes in. That's where the fasting for years comes in. That's where all these things, well, I bless God, this is what I'm going to do to get closer to God. But you never look at the scriptures to find out why you're not getting closer to God. I've had people, person after person, tell me that after they got baptized correctly by the right authority, they were submissive to God and obedient to Him, that their life became new to them. Why? Because that's the way the Lord set it up. The Lord set it up that you follow parameters that He laid for us in the Scriptures. Search them. Find out what those are. And when you find out what they are and you adhere to them, not to... People all the time say, well, you're just doing what man said. No, we're not doing just what man said. We're doing what the God-man said. But we're not doing what just man said. Because if you do what man said, you've got a humanistic religion. And every one of them, Christian, you got to hear me. Every religion out there, bar none, I haven't found one yet, that does not adhere to this scripture is humanistic. Every one. there's something you can do or you need to do to get yourself to heaven, and that is humanistic. You can't do anything to get you to heaven. You just accept the gift. The baptism, the Lord's Supper, all those things, they do not get you to heaven. They do not. This do in remembrance of me, not to get to heaven. Okay, so a lot of times that gets all messed around. A lot of falseness gets messed around. You've got a breaking of bread. They take the Lord's Supper. As often as you do, you remember the Lord. And then go on in that verse there. And in breaking of bread and in prayers, a praying membership. I'm telling you, if you're a Bethel Baptist Church for long, you're going to know we need to pray about each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our pastor. We need to pray for the people of this church. Listen, this world is not getting better. It's getting worse. And every single day that it's getting worse, we need to pray for each other more earnestly, more fervently. I'm going to tell you, it would make me put a nice spring in my step if I knew I had 150 to 200 people praying for me every day. How would you feel if 150 to 200 people were praying for you every day? Hey, let me tell you, we can't know. How in the world do we know to pray for each other unless we're bearing one another's burdens? How do we know these things? Let me tell you. In those earliest churches, they knew about each other. I believe that with all my heart. They knew who they were. They knew who their friends were. They knew who their neighbors were. And they took care of each other. They looked after each other. Glory to God. Wouldn't that be great if we lived in a society where you cared about each other? You can't even go to Walmart anymore without worrying about your life. Let me explain something to you. That's sad. When I first heard that, they actually joked about it on the radio. A person had to lose their life for Black Friday? Let me explain something to you, folks. There's more important things than Christmas gifts. Every year, Christmas gets more and more bitter in my mouth. And what makes me mad is that it all revolves around that. We need to pray for each other that we get back to what God has tried to give us. We need to pray for each other that we get a little bit more excited about what the Son has done than what we're going to do for our children on Christmas. We need to get a little bit more excited about what we're actually trying to live for here. Preacher, you got 10,000 people in line at Walmart at 4 o'clock in the morning, but we can't get 200 people in here for Sunday school on a Sunday for a good deal. We should offer our sermon 75% off. A membership that still enjoyed the present ministry of the apostles. If you look at verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. Listen to me now. And all that believed were together and had all things common. You know what your common ground is? Boy, this is good stuff. You need to hear me today. You know what your common ground is in this room? Everybody look up here. The common ground in this room is you are all sinners, saved by grace. That's your common ground. We all start the same way. There's nobody better than anybody else. Where preachers get out of hand is when they start thinking that they're holier than everybody else. When they start thinking they're smarter than everybody else. Understand this, I'm dumb. God gave me any knowledge I've got. Don't think for one minute that I don't understand that. And if you can grab a hold of the fact that God gives you everything that you have, God's no respecter of persons, that puts us all in the same boat. We had all things common. How long has it been since you felt like you had anything in common with the people in here? Ooh, that's good preaching. That's good. I'm a little ornery this morning. I must have stayed up too late. You want to start loving the brethren that are in this room? Realize that you're one of them. Man, that's good. I hope we're writing this down. Explain something to me. How in the world can you come to a place and not feel at home? And stay there? I go to my in-laws, or not my in-laws, that's part of, it's 50 feet apart. I go to my own family for Christmas Eve. I do not feel at home there. I don't. I tell you, I'm looking at the door the minute I go in. Okay, I just don't. They know I'm a preacher. They know I'm a Baptist preacher. David, please come fellowship, but don't talk about God. That's what it all is. Amen? It still gets in there once in a while, but But if you don't feel at home somewhere, you can't wait to go. The question always comes to me, naturally arises in my mind, why in the world wouldn't you feel at home here? Why in the world wouldn't you feel at home here? Does your family not love you here? Does your family not care about you here? Could it be that we have come to a place where we're maybe not on the same ground anymore? Have we come to a place where maybe we really aren't a sinner saved by grace? Have we come to a place where we've forgotten from whence we came?
Right. Such were some of you.
See, what happens is this. In Baptist churches everywhere. That was a paid. In Baptist churches everywhere, people are slipping through the cracks. And I learned a very important thing from Dr. Gray when he was here. It's not the job of the pastor to close the fingers. It's the job of us all. It's the job of us all. What happens is this. When you come to church, this is a hospital. I used to think it's all of us are supposed to come and get healed here spiritually. And there is some truth to that. But do you know this church should be filled with doctors and nurses?
Yeah.
That are looking to help people.
Yes.
That are looking to try to find that person that maybe is having a rough day. And you know, if it was nothing more than saying, hey, buddy, I'm praying for you. I just want you to know I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
If even something as simple as that might make them feel at home.
Yep.
Might make them feel like they're part of the family. Sometimes we get away from the fact that we're a family. Sometimes we get away from the fact that we really are brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Really are. I mean, really are.
Yeah.
This is no joke. Mike Freimeyer is my brother.
Yep.
I don't like to claim Katie is my sister, but Brother Mike Freimeyer, he's my brother. And let me explain something to you. I love Brother Mike as my brother. And hey, listen to me. Is there times in your life when you don't get along with your family? Absolutely. Yes, there are. But you know what? You still love your family. You still want to pray for your family. And I know that there's everybody's family has them. We just got one in the form of a little Jewish man. But understand this. Do you know why he feels at home here? Because we love him. Because we care about him. This is a family here. See, what happens is in the Baptist churches, we get all wrapped up with all the things that we fight daily in the world, and we forget what we're supposed to be fighting for daily in our churches. We should be fighting for each other's lives. Not trying so hard to usher each other out the door. We should be trying so hard to keep each other in. So we were a membership that still enjoyed the present ministry of the apostles and a membership that was continually growing. Now understand this. If I believe with all my heart, if we had a building that was a little bigger than this, that we would continue to grow. If you look at the turnover that we've had in the last 8-9 years, it's staggering. The folks that come and aren't able to stay or don't want to stay or whatever the case may be. It's hard to have a family inside. It's hard to have a family of 10 inside of a house with one bedroom, amen? Although some of you have tried it, I think. But anyways, we realize this as we study about being Baptist. In my opinion, the greatest teaching that Christ gave us is caring about each other and praying for each other and making a church a home. I believe that's one of the greatest teachings he gave. And you don't have to be anybody special to fit. Matter of fact, it's being unspecial that makes you fit. It's being somebody that's common that makes us fit here. Be proud of being a Baptist. There's many distinctives, but be proud that you're a Baptist. Don't say, "I'm Baptist." Be proud that you're a Baptist. It's the church that Christ set up. It cannot be taken away. It's the church that Christ set up. So let's be proud of being a Baptist. We learn about it the next few weeks. Let's be proud of that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to preach your word. I thank you that you set up a church for us. Lord, I'm thankful that you set up a church where you can be at home. And Lord, I hope and pray that your home is here with us. I hope and pray that you're the one that we look to all the time, and you're the one we look to in times of need and in times of trouble. We look to you. But Lord, I also pray that we look at each other and we help each other, and we decide that we're going to try to help in any way that we can to maybe to be there for somebody that needs us, or to be there and actually look for somebody. We come to church praying that we'd look for somebody that may need our help. Lord, let us be there for each other. And Lord, let us always look to you in your scriptures. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.